to you again. Pastor, help me, Lord. Now, Father, we come to you. Our eyes are on you. Our eyes are on you. You're the giver of life. You're the giver of all things. You're the giver of Jesus and the word. And today, I know that the word is going to go forth. And I declare that it'll be deposited and there'll be a change in lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. We are teaching on the... All right, we're teaching on the Holy Spirit. Actually, this is our wrap-up week. We've done 5 weeks. The title of the series is The Third Person. The Third Person. We've got the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we've been teaching on that. If you weren't able to be with us, just you can go online and listen to them. You can get free CDs. I still like CDs. I do. I don't know what half this other stuff is, but I can still do a CD. I want to just give a real quick review because not everybody was with us the whole time. Week one, we taught who is the Holy Spirit. You know, it's nice to talk about people, yeah, but you should know about them. So we talked about who he is, and we found out he is not an it. And, you know, there's a couple of translations of the Bible. I won't even tell you which one they are. They say the Holy Spirit is an it. I was like, well, I'm not reading that one. But no, I wrote in there anyway. He's not an it. He's a person. He's a third person. So we talked about who the Holy Spirit is. And we talked about that the Holy Spirit is passionate about you, and the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you. Can you beat all that? Someone wants to have a relationship with you. Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit wants to have a relationship with you. All right, week two, we talked about he is the power source. Everybody say power. Guys, there's a lot of different ways you can get hooked up to power, but the Holy Spirit is the power source. Praise the Lord. And he'll just help you. He'll help you with your children raising kids. Oh my, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Spirit raising kids. He'll help you on your job, all right? He's the power source for you to help you. But the thing about the Holy Spirit is, you can know about his power. You can know that he will help you in life, but you got to get connected. So we talked about that. Week two. Week three, we talked about the Holy Spirit still speaks. He still speaks. He is alive and well, and he talks to us. Now, we talked about how if you read your Bible, the Holy Spirit will, the words in the Bible will speak to you. Anybody ever have that? You're reading it and you're like, it jumps off the page. Like the first time you've ever read it, and you've read it a zillion times. That's the Holy Spirit speaking through the word. But the Holy Spirit also likes to speak to you in a still small voice. We talked about that. And we talked about some other things. So I suggest you get that CD. All right. Last week was week four, and we talked about being filled. We talked about being filled. Not with jelly beans, but being filled with the Holy Spirit. Anybody knows I love jelly beans. Love jelly beans. I like chunky candy. I really do. But we're not talking about that. We talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know, the day that you've raised your hand or you prayed that prayer and said, Jesus, I'm a mess. I need you. Come into my life. The Holy Spirit moved in. But there's more. And we talked about what the more was, is being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if you weren't there, go to the bookstore. They have this really great little mini book. It's called Why Speak in Tongues. And believe me, there's stuff that goes with it. So go into the bookstore and get that. That's just great. Matter of fact, Kathy and I'm getting on the page. Kathy's always on the page. But I'm getting like, Kathy, this is what we're going to do for a whole month. So for the last 5 weeks, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. And I gave Kathy a heads up. Like a day's up, you know, I'm getting better at that. And I said, Kathy, pull all the books you've got about the Holy Spirit. All right. And so you walk into the bookstore, y'all walk into that bookstore, and there's a table and it's got everything laid out for you. It's like the dinner table set, the turkey, the mashed potatoes, the sweet peas, what all that stuff. So go help yourself to that. All righty. So let's get started. How many of you have ever heard this term, the complete package? Have you ever heard that about a person, you know, an athlete? They're the complete package. You know, they're fast, they're strong, and gosh, they're good looking. They're the complete package, right? You ever hear that, the complete package? I've even heard it said about preachers. Boy, that preacher, man, that preacher's the complete package. They preach, they communicate, and oh my gosh, they sing. So, you know, I'm not the complete package because I don't sing, right? Well, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit. And if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit is the complete package. He is the complete package. That's the title of the message, too. He is the complete package, all right? And we're going to find out more about the Holy Spirit and what are the benefits of this package. Amen. So we talked about the part of the Holy Spirit is he gives us power, right? We connect to him and we have a relationship to him. And all of that is wonderful, but I'm going to give you some more about the package today. We're going to talk about the more, all righty? If you're a guest here and you're like, Pastor D, I don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. I don't even know who Jesus is. Well, you know the way I look at it? Goody, goody, goody. Because if you're here, man, the Holy Spirit is working on your heart. He brought you here. He'll draw people, all right? So I just ask you to stay open, lock the doors, don't let them out. Praise the Lord. You're gonna hear about it. So write this down, grace. Everybody say it while you do it. All my great accidents is when I'm trying to drive and do three things. So I asked you to write it down and say that. You guys didn't crash. That's wonderful. But let me say this to you. The Holy Spirit is a part of the grace gift. Okay, so Pastor D, grace. Grace you don't earn, right? You can't earn it. You can't work for it. Matter of fact, grace is free. Right? Grace is free. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit, you can't work for him, work to get him. You can't earn it. Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit, the day you receive Jesus into your life, he comes in. He moves in. He's free. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So he's part of grace. I call it the grace package. But so we're going to talk about benefits. So you all ready to get started? You all excited? You sure? They took the coffee away. You're just going to have to just do it, okay? I'm excited. Praise the Lord. Hey, would you open up to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4? 1 John 4, 4. 1 John 4, 4. It's like the second to the last thing in the book here. Okay, 1 John 4, 4. You are of God, little children. Guess who he's talking to? Us, believers, even more specific, someone who's received Jesus. So it says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them. The them that he's talking about is the Antichrist back then. But by the way, the Antichrist spirit's still here. What is the Antichrist? I used to go, what's an Antichrist? You know, and people have some funny things. But the Antichrist simply means somebody that is against Jesus Christ, against God. Real simple. Anybody know some of those? Okay, so it says, you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the... Oh, let's do that again. He who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Okay, so we like to say it is the greater one lives inside you. If you've been in church before, do you even know the song? Yeah, the greater one lives inside you, right? The greater one lives inside you. So if I'm going to give you four things today, four benefits, I was going to say things, but let's go four benefits of the Holy Spirit. Four benefits of the Holy Spirit. Number one, greatness. That's a benefit of the Holy Spirit, right? Greatness, all right? So the day you receive Jesus, that moment, the Holy Spirit moves in. I'm like, yeah, the Holy Spirit moves in, all righty? So greatness actually moved inside of you. Greatness moved in you. Really? Really? Yes, really. Greatness moved in you. And you might be thinking, no way, Pastor D, no greatness in here. Maybe greatness in you and maybe greatness in you. But Pastor D, have you been with me? No greatness in here. You have greatness on the inside of you. All right? So when greatness lives inside of you, something happens. Something happens, okay? Let me tell you what happens. You are no longer a victim. You don't have the victim voice, okay? Okay, Pastor D, what do you mean by victim voice? That's where you go like, everything always bad happens to me. My family always has bad things happen to me. I don't understand why everybody at work does this to me. That is a victim voice. But wait a minute. Greatness moved inside of you. Greatness, the greater one, the Holy Spirit, the greatness of God moves inside of you. So you don't have that anymore. So shut your mouth. Duct tape, okay? Instead, you have greatness, okay? God put the greater one living inside of you. So everybody, let's say that. The greater one lives inside of me. Now, say it like you mean it. I'm going to tell you, I have to tell myself that some days too, by the way. And some of you are going, Pastor D, what on earth are you talking about? You don't know what's going on in my life. I don't. But God knows what's going on in your life. And that is why he gave you the greater one. So that if you tap into that, the greater one will help you get through. Anybody want to raise your hand and say, yeah, I know. I have the greater one and I lean on him. I rely on him. I tell him, you live inside of me and you will get me through this. Woo-hoo-hoo. Okay, so you have greatness inside of you, but this is the key. You have to release it. You have to like open the door for it. All right, and it starts with saying that. All right. Again, we talked about the Holy Spirit, who he is. We said the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. So you have to open the door and release it. All right. He's not going to make it. I wish he would, but okay. So again, if you've received Jesus Christ, you've asked him to be Lord and Savior of your life. That moment, the greater one moved in. Isn't that awesome? Awesome. Okay. Okay. Open up to Romans 5. Let me read this to you. Romans 5. Romans 5, 5. Praise God. How many of you like reading the book of Romans? Anybody that raises their hand, you have actually left preschool and went up a couple grades. Uh-huh. When you decide that you'd like to read the book of Romans, you're ready to grow up. Yeah, thanks, Pastor D. Okay. Here we go. Romans 5, 5. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God, did you see that? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by who? By the Holy Spirit who was given to, yeah, me, us, right? Okay. So, second benefit. Ready? Second thing about the Holy Spirit. Second benefit is just write down love. Love, alrighty? Love moved inside of you the day that you received Jesus because the Holy Spirit moved in and that's love. I read that. How about you? It says, because love of God has been poured in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to you. All right, so you're going, love, especially guys. Guys will go, oh, are you talking about that romantic love stuff? No, I'm not talking about that. Remember it says, for God so loved the world. Okay, that word love and this word love is agape. It's Greek. It's agape and it means unconditional love. Unconditional love. The Holy Spirit, that love is unconditional love. So let's see, no one's been nice to you. You weren't nice to me. I have this love and it doesn't matter. I will unconditionally love you because of this love. Now, it's up to my love. Hit the road, Jack, and don't come back. I'm done with you. All right, but the Lord says, no. That the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. So I have this unconditional love. So I could go through. By the way, just read 1 Corinthians 13, man. Love is patient and kind and I'm not offended. That's that agape. Doesn't hold on. So praise the Lord. You've got this love. So we have love that's moved inside of us the day we receive Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you a couple stories. Occasionally I go out to eat and occasionally I'll talk to waiters and waitresses. I love talking to cashiers. They're just really amazing people. And as I'm talking to them, I never wear my big sticker and my big cross or anything like that. I'm just having a regular Joe Schmo conversation with them. And as I start talking to them, this is what they say. Christians are the rudest people they know. Guys, that's not supposed to be, right? So let me tell you a story. Years ago, I'm just going to do that years ago. I'll do that story. Years ago, we had a guest speaker. It was probably a Sunday evening service, and we went out to the diner over there, and we're having a meal. And we left our Bibles in the car. We didn't have the big crosses and, you know, all that stuff going on. And we're just having a really great time. And it's late, so there aren't too many people at the restaurant. And we're just talking and being really loving to this waiter. I don't remember if it was the waiter or go, but I remember the conversation. And so they found out we're church people. and this is what this waiter said. We just hate it when it's Sunday and we have to work because church people are the worst tippers. Yep, they're the worst. And you know, I've told this story, and I'm guilty, been there, done that. So he says, you know what they love to do? You know that, remember that, this track, it's probably 30 years old. It's like a fake, it's a piece of paper that's folded in half, and it looks like a dollar? $5? I'd love to say $100, but it wasn't. It looks fake. And if you turn it on the back side, it says, you're going to hell, you don't know Jesus. And they leave this fake thing, been there, done that, and then they put a nickel inside of there. Now, they didn't say a nickel, but this waiter said that, told this story. So at that time, so this has been a while ago, my daughter Cass was a waitress, and I said, Cass. She goes, oh, yeah, Ma. And they come in with their crosses. I'm like, somebody else take their table. You know, I'm laughing, but oh, my gosh. And I thought, wait a minute. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. So we should be the best tippers. Like 20%. More than that, okay? Well, Pastor D, I don't have enough money to tip. Well, you shouldn't be going out to eat. You waitress. All the waiters over there, raise your hand. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, sad but true. Sad but true. But not with us. That's somebody else, right? The other church down there. Okay, praise the Lord. So, I believe the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and it will make you kind and loving to people. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And listen, I know there are some people that are doozies to love. Okay, probably me. You're all thinking that lady up there. But listen, when you tap into the love of God, and you have to do it by faith. You have to do it by faith. Lord, you said in this word, then you rattle off these scriptures, that the love of God is in my heart. You said that I can, and I choose to, I will. And you do that by faith. You know what? I'm just going to unconditionally love them. And I'll tell you what, now I know I'm going to take this a little out of context, just to love me anyway. Love never fails, okay? Now, in the whole context of the whole scripture and stuff, but I'll go, okay, Lord, you said this, I said that, you said it's not going to fail, so I'm expecting that I can do this, and things are going to change with that person, okay? But, guys, the love of God has been shed abroad by the Holy Spirit. It's inside of you, and you choose to do that, all right? Now, praise the Lord. Number three, Pastor D, get going. Number three. Benefit number three. You ready? Number three, the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Okay, got my apple up here. The fruit of the Spirit. There are nine fruits of the Spirit. Turn over to Galatians 5. Is it 22 or 23? I think it's 22. What is it? All right. They're right next to each other. Open up to Galatians chapter 5. While you're getting there, 522, 523, we used to sing a song downstairs in kids. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you can't be a fruit of the Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I'm not singing anymore. Okay. Are you there yet? Good, because, shoo. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, if you like that version. I use patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the capital S-P-I-R-T, Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that the day you received Jesus, that moment the Holy Spirit came in and he went, boom, he deposited that on the inside of you. Amen? Amen. He sure did. So what's Paul saying over here? Your spirit, your human spirit, the day Jesus came in, put these gifts inside of you, these fruits. And guess what? If they're in there, you can produce them out there. If they're in here, you can produce them out there. All right? Now, some people are more nuts than their fruits. How's that for being nice? You get around them and you go, man, I want to say crazy, but the Lord says you shouldn't call people crazy, so I'm working on that. But you get around people and they just act all whatever, nutty, okay? And they say it's the Holy Spirit, okay? They say it's the Holy Spirit. Listen, the moment the Holy Spirit moves inside of you, he puts his fruit inside of you that you're going to push on the way outside of you. Now, here we go. I'm going to ask you a question. It is not a trick question. You don't have to think so hard. Ready? What do you do with fruit?
Eat it.
Oh my gosh, I got five of you that know what to do with it. Praise the Lord. Okay. All right. Every time someone comes in contact with you, that you are leaving a taste in their mouth. This isn't one of those sweet ones. Oh my God. Sherry, I took your apple and it was down the fridge. Blah. Okay. Every time you come in contact with somebody, you're leaving a taste in their mouth. How kind you were. How kind you were not with them, all right? How about that? How you treat them, all right? You leave a taste in their mouth. So my question is, what kind of taste are you leaving in people's mouths or people's lives, really? You should write that down. That should be on your refrigerator today. What kind of taste did I leave in my spouse's mouth here? All right. Because there's fruit that's inside of you. There's fruits inside of you. Love, joy, peace, patience, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Right? Here. Have you ever walked into the room and greatness walked in, right? You guys know who you are in Christ. More than a conqueror. The greater one lives inside of you. Greatness walks in the room. Ta-da! And then here comes Ihor. Okay? You know what Ihor is? He's one of the Disney characters from Rock. Okay. I'm so depressed. I'm so sad. I can't do this. You can't either. Okay, no. Wait a minute. You've got one of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. Right? Does yours have joy in there? Yeah. Oh my gosh, mine says joy. Okay. So, joy. So if the fruit of the Spirit is me, inside of me, joy, then I should be picking people up. Pick them up. All right? Put a little joy on them. Now, I'm not bragging about me. Because let me tell you, this was going to work. You get these solicitors on the phone. And some days at the office, I'm like, ah, I just want to. So this day, it must have been the Holy Spirit. Be nice, Pastor D on the phone. So I am just as joyful as I can be. And it wasn't because my day had just smooth sailing, okay? I chose to be joyful. So I have these fruits on the inside of me. So we develop and it's for others. Okay, number one benefit is? Number two. Number three. Okay, fruit of the Spirit. Number four. Here we go. The gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's how many of them? Nine, okay? And you can find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14, all right? I'm not going to write down references. Just go in there, and I'm giving you the compact version of this, okay? The gifts of the Spirit, all righty? Brother Hagin, I actually think of him more as my spiritual father. I was just so blessed to sit under that ministry for 3 years, really 2 years, but 3 years here. And this is what he said. You might want to write this down. That fruit, like the fruit of the Spirit we just went over, that fruit is for how you treat others. Like character. That fruit is for how you treat others, okay? Now, the gifts, he said, are for you to have the ability to help others when it seems like it's hopeless. The gifts are for you to help others when it seems like their life is just helpless, hopeless, okay? I'm rereading books. How many have books on your shelves that the pages turn yellow? That's how long I've been doing this. So I'm reading them out. Sherry was over there the other night, and I've read this book before a couple of times because I've got different color highlighters, but it was just speaking to me. So I was reading one of Brother Hagin's book, and he wrote this. Most people think the nine gifts of the Spirit, which we're going to talk a little bit about, are just for this place. Most people think that the gifts are for church services. Okay? And he said, they are less for a church service and more for out there. Okay? They are more for out there in the world. So he's talking about out there is the most important place that these gifts should be. Thank you. I was like, what's the word for this? Okay. Now, when I received the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you, man. It was the late 70s. And in the late 70s and the early 80s, that's about that time, I went to a charismatic church. And we don't usually use that label so much now. The labels change. Okay. So I went to a charismatic church. Let me tell you a typical Sunday. Some of you are going to go, yeah, I was there. Okay, typical Sunday at a charismatic church in late 70s, early 80s. Ready? We'd be having service like today, and it's worship service. And then they get to, you know, that second or third song when it gets a little bit slow, right? We got slow in the last, right? We sure did. Okay, and this is what would happen. Somebody would scream at the top of their lungs in tongues or a prophecy. And scare the socks right off of you. Like, oh my gosh. Especially if you know Sister Big Mouth over there. I didn't mean that way. That sister. Please. Come on. But she had the largest screaming voice, okay? And I was like, oh my gosh. Just scare. Anybody been to those services? Been around long? You've been around? Yeah, okay. Okay, so here's my question I want to ask you. You're at the grocery store, right up here. And you get around this guy Dave over here. You're walking by him, and the Holy Spirit's, you know, that still small voice that we talked about, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord's saying, I want you to go up and talk to that person, whether it be with the gift of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, or just go up and say something to them. Okay, so you know, would you be this like here? I'm here, thus saith the Lord, man in the yellow shirt. Did you know that today that the Lord's love is upon you? And I'm spitting all over you in the middle of the grocery store. Would you do that in the grocery store? So what makes you think you should be doing it in church? Real loud like that. And just not you. Come on, that's not you. There is a place for all the nine gifts of the Spirit. There's a place, and there's talks about order. And you talk about out of order. The reason why they're written in there, the most out of order church was the Corinthians, man. They were just, we look amazing compared to them, okay? So they talk about order, all right? But listen, it's not necessary to do that in a service where you're screaming, okay? And we think we learned it this way. We think we should do it this way. And we think we should scream and just scare people. Okay? And guys, no. Okay? No. Just say no. Many times in a church service, I will move in the gifts of the Spirit. And you don't even know. I'm not going, thus saith the Lord, lady over there. Okay? I don't do that. I just kind of act normal. And I'll say things, okay? Okay, and in Jesus' name, I believe I'm following the leading of the Holy Spirit, okay? So you don't have to do that. The Holy Spirit, we talked about that. Who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit's not weird, and he's not going to make you be weird. Shoo. Shoo. Thank you. I think that's why I stayed away from, you know, this stuff for a long time. I just met all the nuts. Right? And I thought, I don't want to be a nut. And you know, another reason why I'm so grateful is that let's just say that we've got a person that doesn't know Jesus and you're acting weird. They're like, that's it. I'm done. Whoosh, out the door. All right? And love is interested in other people. All right? So there is a place. There is a way. Go read 1 Corinthians 14, 12, 13, and 14. Okay? Praise the Lord. Write this down. Ephesians chapter 4. So, you know, we talk about the nine gifts of the Spirit, but there's more gifts. Okay? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Ephesians 4, 1 through 11. Just really just pop down to 11. It says, God gave unto men, ladies. God gave to men, ladies, some apostles, some prophets. What else is there? Some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. God gave some other kind of gifts. Right? Do y'all know that? Okay. And I'm not going to go to the second part, which I'd love to there, but when I read that, I have a gift. It was a gift from God, and I'm a pastor teacher. Okay. But the really interesting part about that is this has happened in churches. We don't mean to do this. It just kind of got goofy like this. Many times the people that are up here, they care. Well, I'm better than you, because you just work a secular job. I'm in the ministry. Guys, that is not God, okay? It's not God. And sometimes we have this, I don't know, like, I have more, you have less. That is not the Bible, all right? God gave gifts, and they are both needed. The gifts, like we just read here, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about the gifts that God gives you and the callings. They're both needed. They're both valued by God. And guess what? They both have to work together. Wait, give me that possum look. Remember possum look last week? Okay, all right. These gifts are the way that we reach the world. And fortunately or unfortunately, whatever your opinion is, I pretty much am in these walls most of the time. I don't have as much access 24/7 like you in your job. Okay? You reach the world more than I do. And because you work in the world, right? How many of you are working in a secular job? I know you do, all right? So you are so valuable and needed because you reach all 24/7. Praise God. So where is this thought? Well, up here, we're better. And, you know, no. You, matter of fact, I know it's not true, but, man, I think you guys are better because of the call that God gives you to do some things. So God gives gifts to men and women, not just the ones that we just read there, but he gives gifts to businessmen, businesswomen. God gives gifts to nurses. They're incredible gifts. I don't got that one. Computer programmers, gifts. Those are gifts. Whatever you do in life, that's a gift from God. It's a gift from God. And whatever God-given gift you have, go out and use it. Go out and do it. Go out and, you know, just let your fruit go all over the place, right? Let yourself shine. Praise the Lord. But those are gifts. And I just want to encourage you, for wherever you are, wherever God has placed you, know that that's a gift of God. What? Brenton's a painter. That's a gift from God. You come in my house and you'll say, yeah, she didn't paint good. She's one of my lines up there. I had a friend that's a painter. He goes, Pastor D, did you paint this room? Yeah, I did. He says, well, I can tell the line up there. Okay. But it is a gift and a passion, gifts that you have and whatever. But please, use your gifts. Be excited about the gifts that God has given you that are different from hers and mine. And go use them. All right? Just go use them. All righty? You know, I'm still amazed that God gives gifts. And I don't get to give them. You don't want to be on my list on gifts. But I just crack up. God gave a gift to me. And, you know, 1 Corinthians 1, 20, 27? God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. That foolish, you look that word up, means moron. If you can dig in there. So God chose the morons of the world to confound, make you guys go, what? But seriously, God gives gifts, all right? He gives them out. And if he gave you a gift, it is a special gift. It is an important gift. It is a valuable gift. And he's given it out to you to do stuff. All right? Praise God. Everybody say, I love my gift. Amen. All righty. I was thinking about this in the past, 40 years since I've met the Lord. I've met men and women of God that are businessmen and women of God. And you know what? Four of them have just a high school education. One of them finally went and got their GED. Okay? Businessmen, businesswomen. And you know what? Their checkbooks look mighty big. They have done so well because they were a gift from God, and they did it really well, but it was a gift from God. All right? So sometimes we think, well, I'm just a businessman. No, you're a businesswoman. You've got a gift and a calling and anointing, and you're going to touch people that I don't get to touch, right? So don't limit yourself by, well, I just have this gift, and my gift, I don't even have an education. Guys, if God's called you, God's given you a gift, he will anoint you, and he doesn't care about your education. He'll take you. Like that one guy, he finally went and got his GED. Well, I tell you, he is super wealthy. Possum, you're all looking at me. Praise the Lord. If you missed that last week, get that CD. We talked about the possum look. Okay, praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to say one more thing. Turn over to Romans 11, 29. I'm just going to keep moving here. Praise the Lord. Don't limit God. Don't tell him, well, I'm just this. I only have that. Don't tell him that. He's called you. He gave you a gift. He picked you out. Said, this is where I want you, and this is what I'm going to have you do in life. And go do it. Praise the Lord. You over at Romans 11, 29? For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So that means God callings are irrevocable. Okay? That means if he called you, he doesn't take it back. It's like you got slapped on that big sticker on the back, and it is stuck. If God called you, that's what he's saying. He says, they're irrevocable. He doesn't take back his gift, his call. They're still there. Okay, so I'm going to say this to you. If you were a former something, keyword former, former this, former worship leader, former businessman, and you messed up, guess what? For the gifts and call of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable. He doesn't take them back. So he gave them to you, and you're going to finish life with them, even if you've got some mess ups. Okay, they're there. All righty. Now, in the past, the church has not done such a great job in restoration of people who have been former. I messed up, right? I messed up, and I've fallen, or maybe you didn't even, you just got caught, okay? So people in the church have like, well, man, you really messed up. So we're going to kick you out, and then we're also going to throw you out and step all over you, okay? In the past, it's been like that, but that's not what God says, all right? Those gifts, those calls, and you all have gifts and calls and talents and all that stuff, they're still there. Everybody say, they're there. All right. And he doesn't take them back. And, I was thinking about this. All of you, y'all work different jobs. Some of you have been in your jobs for more than you can just imagine. You've been at your job. I bet more than likely you've messed up once. Messed up twice. I'm going to tell a story on Sherry. She's here. So this past week, she messed up. This past week, we wrote our deposit check to camp. So we collect the monies the kids pay for camp, and we do a big chunk too. So we wrote our big check, and we had to mail it to New York to the people that run this thing. And I was in the office on Saturday just driving by, and I picked up our mailbox. I went to the mailbox. I opened it up. Returned. The letter was returned. The deposit that needed to, had to be up there was returned because we forgot to put a stamp on it. So I fired her because, sure, we fire church people, right? No, come on. We mess up. And I was like, don't worry. Don't beat yourself up. No big deal. She is still hired here, okay? And some of you have been in your jobs and you've made mess ups like Sherry, okay? And some of you have made mess ups. You didn't get caught and you're still there. Yeah, Sherry got caught. But man, if someone in church messes up, man, we just throw them to the tigers, right? No, no, no. No, no, no. Listen, God cares about people. He cares about you. He loves you so much. And when you mess up, it's okay. He'll forgive you. And your gift and your call is still there. Well, you messed up. Give me that back. It's like your kid. You give them the keys to the car and they wreck it. That's it. Give me the keys. You're done. You're never driving again. No, thank goodness they finally learned how to drive. Okay? So God doesn't do that. Okay. So my heart and God's heart is that people come into our church and they've messed up. They've blown it. And we open our doors and we stand beside them and we pour into them and we lift them up and we encourage them. We don't point fingers at them. Now, I get it. They need some accountability. Not some. They need accountability in their life after something like that. They probably need counseling. I love counseling. Tell me, get to some counseling with me. I love it. Just, you know, but that is true. All right. And they may have to sit for a season, but we don't lock the door, kick them out and do something like that. Come alongside. Because one, God put a gift in them. They'll stand before the Lord. And I want them to say, well, Lord, you know, I messed up. As a matter of fact, as soon as you mess up for doing whatever, you go to the Lord. And what do we say? Father God, I confess I've messed up. And you know, the soon as you do that, that moment, he says, it's okay. I see you restored. I'm going to, you know, he doesn't pull it back. Right? Some of you are like, sure. Yeah, Pastor D, I know all about that. Yeah. Okay. Praise God. You know, when you think about none of us are worthy to do nothing for the Lord. All of us have messed up. I've been a liar. I've been a cheater. You know, I've done stuff. Okay. Most of that before. You know, looking at me like, oh, Pastor, no. Okay. We've all messed up. And the only reason why you're able to walk these gifts and callings out in your life is because of Jesus. Amen. What Jesus did for you, he took it. He took shame and he took guilt. So when you mess up, you go to him and you confess it. And then you say, okay, Lord, I'm walking again with you. But I want to be a part of the team that stands beside people. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Lord. All righty. I think I've done that one here pretty good. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All righty. So God loves people. Amen. He loves you. And he will never take his gifts away from you, even if you mess up. Okay? And he wants you to still use your gifts. And he wants us to help people with their gifts. Amen. So here's something here, just some wrapping up. So we have the fruit of the Spirit, right? They're in you. You need to produce a good taste in people's mouth. You need to choose to move on it. So we have those. And then we have the 9 gifts of the Spirit, and they're to move and help others, right? But you know what? Those all have to do with the Holy Spirit. But can you imagine that you just totally blow them off? Every day you need to acknowledge, I'm a child of God. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, and I acknowledge that you're in my life. You know that book I gave out and I don't have any more? The Good Morning, Holy Spirit, I thank you. I will go where you tell me to go. I will say what you tell me to do, Holy Spirit. I will let you, by the way, you're the helper. Thank you for helping me raise teenagers. Thank you that you're my counselor because I need some counsel before I pull my hair out. I thank you that you stand by me. You know, all those things about the Holy Spirit. So, but you have to acknowledge him in your life. Amen? Otherwise, talked about this last week, he will live on your bookshelf dormant. You know, I think it's really sad, and a person came up to me, this is years ago, and said, we were talking about the Holy Spirit, and she said, yes, I've received Jesus, and I also asked to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I did receive my prayer language, and I spoke in tongues, but you know, I haven't done that in about 10 years. I was like, oh, baby, I need it every day, okay? But the Holy Spirit will lay dormant, and that power that you're supposed to walk in will lay dormant. You have to acknowledge it and choose to walk in it. Praise God. So I've been hearing some really great things about Pastor D. Man, I've just been remembering the Holy Spirit. And I was like, good, keep remembering him. Praise the Lord. write this down. This is your challenge, and we're going to wrap up. Oh, praise God. I nailed it. 12 o'clock. Every once in a while, I just crack up going, yay! Not always, but write this down. This is your challenge, a.k.a. homework. Get your cell phones out. You can write it on your cell phone. Okay. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you about today? How about today? Just today. Today. All day today. Holy Spirit, you speak to me. I have ears to hear. I hear your voice. The strangers and I'm not follow. I hear your voice, and I thank you. You're speaking to me. It could be about what's going on in work. Could be about an individual. Could be about you. Pastor D, when you answer the phone, the love of God, be nice to all those salespeople. All right, and I'm making light of that, but I get quiet. And I probably do this in the morning, and I would like to say I do it in the afternoon, but the days go. But in the evening, Holy Spirit, what have you been saying to me? What's going on? And he'll tell you things to come. I always do that. Shoo, tell me what's going to happen tomorrow so I can be all ready, all right? So ask, that's your homework. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you, okay? Praise the Lord. Because inside of all of you is greatness. Inside of all of you is greatness. I see that greatness. You need to see that greatness. Some of you need to say, there's greatness inside of me. And then after you see that, know that it's for people around you. It is not us four no more. This is all about everybody. Okay, let's stand up. Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you for this enlightenment. I thank you. You've opened our eyes and our ears to who is the Holy Spirit. And where he desires a relationship, I thank you, Father, that people will leave this place and know. They'll know that you have a passion and a desire to be involved in our lives, to have a relationship every single day with the Holy Spirit. And I thank you, Father, that we hear your voice. We hear your leadings. And we are commissioned and called and anointed to go to people that you put in our path. And Father, I thank you that we have eyes to see those people. We have ears to hear the ones you're drawing for us too. In Jesus' name, amen.